La maudite des vieux chauds.
I have seen the dark shadows moving in the woods, and I have no doubt that whatever I have resurrected through this book is sure to come calling for me.
David, you look absolutely terrific, honestly. You've got like glue on.
This is where the worst begins. This is where we must stop. For beyond is the work of madness. The nightmare of insane murder and lingering death. Get inside and lock your doors. Close your windows. Someone is watching you. Someone is waiting for you. Someone wants to scare you to death.
This is Albert from the Tuesday Show. You're listening to the goddamn Dave Hill Show, now on a flipping Monday.
Hello.
No, you're an angel witch. This is that slick part of the show.
That was pretty tight.
It was pretty slick.
Right there.
It's all happening. Anyway, hello and welcome to the Dave Hill Good Time Hour with me, Dave Hill from before. How's everybody doing? Hello, Chris. Hello, hey. Dez.
Guys, good to see you.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone in the chat, in the futuristic live chat. Dan Wally. Chris Gersbeck, wait a minute. Chris, do you know about this?
Ooh, I gotta get in.
Jilly Fitz, a one and a two. Dave Bamundo, Tracy wait. Dunbar, Tender Eyes.
Is someone impersonating me? No, that's just me.
What if they murder you, though? Then you'll be like, oh, wow, that sucks.
I've actually... have you guys, during this pandemic, at all feared that someone was going to just break into your house and murder you?
That's been my hope on some days. Usually, having nothing to do with this show, but Mondays, every Monday, I marvel at the fact that I really feel the Mondays to be... Mm. I'm sorry to be so on the nose. I don't know what it is, because for years now, really, there isn't a huge difference between any day of the week for me, other than... In normal times, more of my friends are available to hang out on the weekend.
Right.
But other than that, you know, but yeah. So to answer your question, yes, there have been times when I've wanted someone to murder me.
And I didn't say that I wanted. I didn't say that I wanted them to.
I just heard what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Oh, your concern is that someone is just going to come in and murder you, like in some. Yeah.
Like I'll walk past the front door and I'll like turn the deadbolt, you know, even though I already have the other one on, you know. Like,
I think it's wise. I think it's wise to be concerned.
We have started the conversation about getting a shotgun here, but that's
why. Really?
Well, that was at the peak of the pandemic and Trump was going crazy. And I'm out here in the country, too. So there's like a different kind of person that could show up and, you know, do something.
Oh, like doomsday preppers.
Exactly.
Going up and saying, give me all your canned goods right now.
Because I'm out in the country. So, they, you know, it's a different crowd out here.
In New Jersey.
Right.
Very quickly before, and then I want to come back to this. We have an amazing guest today. Tonight, he's a dear friend of mine. He is a comedian, a playwright, a novelist, an actor. He's co-host of the most popular podcast in India and one of my favorite podcasts, Our Last Week. He is Anubhav Pal, and he hosts Our Last Week with Kunal Roy Kapoor, a very popular actor there. Anyway, but he's going to be coming on, I think, a little earlier than we normally have the guests, most likely tonight. So I don't think we're going to do the let people drop in on Zoom tonight because we're expecting him and can't mess around.
What if he has, maybe.
Maybe though. We'll see.
Yeah.
You can try. We just may not let you in. It's nothing personal. But the better thing for now tonight is to call 347-474-0260. That's 374. Wait, no. What is it? 347? 347. I'm sorry. I hit my head really hard on some wainscoting. Is that what it's called?
Yep.
Yeah. I really took myself out.
What were you doing down there, though?
You know, I lead an active lifestyle. Kettlebell mostly.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. But wait, so you were going to buy a shotgun? At what point in the pandemic were you like, it's shotgun time?
When, probably very early when the stores were getting overrun with people looking for toilet paper and others.
Oh, and people were freaking out.
You know,
I think I've probably talked about this before, but you know, this whole the toilet paper craze, people tripping over themselves to load them on toilet paper. I gotta say it, the home bidet, it's not a concern. Not a concern.
Wait, did you bring the bidet with you to Ohio?
No, I didn't have the foresight to do that but there has been talk of getting one installed here.
Sure.
Just to break up the day a little bit, but no, had I known, because as I always say, like, we thought we would be here 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, let's go out to Ohio.
It's the beginning of a hilarious sitcom starring Dave Hill.
I'm still thinking, like, it'll be something. But the return, I'll be back in the New York groove soon. We're plotting and planning. It'll be coming soon. If for no other reason than to enjoy some nice layered looks.
They're wasted out there.
Yeah, they're wasted. Because I have nowhere to really stroll here.
I mean, they're wasted in New York, too. Like, you know. Like, I got a really cool jacket a few weeks ago, and it's just like no one's ever going to see it.
We all know about the cool jacket. I saw it online. It is a cool jacket.
Yeah.
Is that the one you got from AdamRetro.com?
It is, yeah.
We're not being paid to say anything about it.
We really should get sponsored by them, though.
They have good clothes. Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. No, yeah, because no one's around, right? No one's around, so you can't be like, hey, check me out. I've got a sweet coat.
I mean, someone's I can impress the people in, like, my immediate 4-block radius. That's about it.
Yeah, this is what I keep hearing. Everyone I talk to, you and other friends in New York, is just, I talk to my dear friend, the celebrity Todd Barry, yesterday, and he was like, come back, because he knows also, especially Ohio is like purple. Basically, like, if you open your front door, you get COVID here.
Yeah,
not really, but
is it really bad there right now?
It does not get worse.
Oh wow,
that we know of. It's horrible. It's really bad, very bad. But I said, well, what are we going to do if I come back? Like, you can't. We're not going to go eat indoors somewhere, and we're not like in a bubble together. So it's not like I'm going to sit across from you outside either.
You won't do the outside even.
No, not with anyone that I'm not like in a bubble or a pod or something with, because you're, unless you can sit 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
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 Fuck that.
We got, our timing was perfect getting out here, getting a backyard. We'll still have we'll have folks over and we'll go over to other places, but we don't go inside unless we have to.
No.
There's a mask. Even like moving my mother. A couple weeks ago, she moved out of the house, in and out with the mask the whole time. It sucked, but got to do something.
Yeah, but I hear that, sister.
I think that's a misconception of the anti-maskers, is that we actually really love wearing masks on our faces, whereas, like, I cannot fucking wait to tear it off my face when I get in the door.
Yeah,
but, it's, you have to.
You don't want to take it off, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Though I was watching the news, and they were talking about how they're still going to have Santa this year and like all the different ways they're having Santa for kids, which I would just be like, no, just tell your kid it's over. There is no Santa. Just rip off the Band-Aid now. What better time during the worst year, at least during our lives on Earth. There's been many other worse years on Earth. Mm-hmm. And many worse ones to come, I assume. But, yeah, they have the kids and, like, Santa's wearing a mask and the kids are wearing a mask and they're taking pictures. And I'm like, who wants to remember that? I don't want to remember any of this.
What will it be like in 15, 20 years when you see that photo pop up now and then?
You're going to say what a dumb idea that was.
What shitty parents I had. Right? I had shitty parents.
They need that tradition to force it through like that. It's rough.
Oh, no, I don't know. Whatever.
It's from the old
times. What? Whatever. I'm on the lookout for our guest here, Anuvab. Mm-hmm. I can't, you know, the thing, we've been in this pandemic for so long, and I still have not gotten one of those sexy ring lights that people have. Chris, do you have one of those?
No, I've been meaning to get one.
Des, do you have one of those?
No, sir.
You can really tell when people have them. They look like glowing.
Radiant.
Yeah. I look like hell.
No.
Like absolute hell.
You look great.
I don't know. It's really hard to maintain my my looks during this pandemic, I have to say.
You should get a haircut, maybe.
I am going to get a haircut. You can't tell, though, when I have headphones on, just the state of horribleness going on with my head. The thing here is there's a variety of reasons I haven't, because I feel like I miss the window of when I could have just cut it really easily, like just hack at it a little bit. Like now, to give myself a proper haircut, it's going to be like an aggressive cutting of hair.
They got to get in there.
And I don't know if I have what it takes. But at the same time, it's an incredible opportunity to give myself an intentionally horrible haircut. So I might go that route, or
like the bangs.
Yeah, some sweet bangs.
That would be the intentionally horrible haircut, right?
Unless it looks sweet, it might look sweet.
It's true.
The other thing is I thought to just keep growing it and then cut it off and give it to Locks of Love, though someone told me that Locks of Love, don't give it to them, give it to someone else.
Either way, you got to grow it real long. They don't want, you know, just like...
They don't want just Pearl Jam length. They want jam band length.
18 to 24 inches, yeah.
Yeah, they want full on.
I've never heard.
Grand Funk Railroad.
Hair length measured in the type of music that, oh, like sure. Pearl Jam. That's a good.
But you know what I mean? Like right now, I'm probably at Pearl Jam length.
Yeah.
But Grand Funk Railroad in 1978 length, that's another story.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting a call from Nick Flanagan, Canadian. It says, when Nick calls me, it says Nick Flanagan, Canadian, which I really like.
Is he like calling to be on the show or is he just calling?
No, he's just calling me. I missed it.
He doesn't watch the show, I guess.
Well, apparently not. He's, you know, I wasn't fast enough. My hope was to answer it and then being like, well, aren't you glued to your computer or a device of some sort watching this incredible program? You would think it is Monday. This is the most popular podcast, live cast in North America.
Yeah.
You've had Monday at 9 lockdown for a few years now, I would imagine.
One of the greats, yeah. Billy D says, bring back the Sons of Elvis style. Referring to my first band. I don't think I don't know what happened. Has this happened to anybody? Where, like, in your 20s, gorgeous ringlets that Chris Cornell would have been jealous of. And then, now, in my late 20s, It doesn't really do that anymore. I don't know what happened.
Absolutely. I have that same.
Like it loses some of its like body.
Sass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a lowering of testosterone is what it is.
No, I have so much testosterone that when I was at the grocery store the other day, people kept commenting on it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they're like, buddy.
Dip destination?
Yeah, I did stop by the dip destination last Tuesday, mate? Yes, last Tuesday. I got up the morning after this show. I got up at 6:30 in the morning, even before that, and I went to the grocery store thinking I would get there before any other living thing was in the grocery store, but already very crowded.
Yeah, holiday week. Is it?
Oh, people are fired up, loading up on pies. I didn't even ask. Did you guys have a nice Thanksgiving?
Yeah. Yeah, just me and Jen here. Cooked dinner.
Same.
It's fun.
Me and Kim, I smoked a turkey out in the yard in the grill. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, very proud.
I didn't have the courage to do a turkey. We just got a couple of Cornish hens.
It was just the breast.
Ooh.
No legs, no dark meat on this one. Small one, 7 pounds. But yeah, it was good. It's nice. Low key after we've hosted it the last couple of years. So to have a
year. Oh, man. That's a nightmare.
It's nice now.
Do you think we'll be able to have Thanksgiving next year?
Sure.
I think by next year, yeah. I hope.
Man, who knows? Jilly Fitz says, I go to the grocery store at 1 a.m. It's awesome. That's when I want to go. My plan was to do that. The grocery store that I've been going out to here in exile has a big sign that says open 24 hours. Not open 24 hours. I think they got the sign, decided, hey, we're not doing this. And then they're like, well, we got the sign. They're just like, keep it.
They got COVID hours, though? That could be.
I know. They don't.
Curfew?
I don't even know why I said it that way. No, they don't. No, they don't.
That was all I did. Oh, and then, yeah, Dez and I, this is going to be of great interest to you, Dave. Dez and I started playing Star Wars video game online.
We're gaming?
Do your wives know you guys are virgins?
or mine are left.
God, I just owned you guys.
Big time. Okay, come back. We got headphones.
Yeah.
Chit-chatting.
It's fun.
Running missions.
I think we should get Dave in there somehow. Like send him a care package with
the Xbox. Oh, to play video games?
Yeah, and then we'll just have you ship it back to us after and we'll return.
I think it's too late.
Probably not.
I've already had sex with a woman, so I can't play video games with you guys. Sorry.
No, it's fun though.
No. I'm sure if you have never been physical with a woman, I'm sure it's very fun. Or physical with anyone, whatever. I don't know. No, I would like to play that game with you guys.
Did you have a game system growing up or anything?
No, I thought no one has rejected. When I got to an age when people started playing video games, instead of like, because you know I'm in my late 70s, and I remember there was a time during my time on Earth where people did not just sit and play video games all the time. They were always around, and then at one point, and I forget, I was very young. All of a sudden, like, that's what everybody did. They played these games. And I was just like, no, this is stupid.
Back then?
Even then, like, 7 years old, I was like, fuck this. Like, we used to do stuff. And then I started playing guitar, and I was like, why would I do that?
Have you ever played Guitar Hero?
No.
You never finished Legend of Zelda?
I wouldn't play Guitar Hero because I am a Guitar Hero. Why would I play Guitar Hero? No, no. No, but when you can actually play a guitar, I don't know why you would want to play Guitar Hero. This goes back to my thing about, you know, not being a virgin, guys. No, I'm sorry. I'm just really beating that joke to death.
Does our podcast deep dive into the weirdest Wikipedia pages we can find?
Yes. Do we learn about scam artists, remote islands, horrible mascots, beautiful diseases, and mythical monsters?
Yes, 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 absolutely, and yes. Do we retain any of this knowledge?
Probably not. I'm Emily Heller.
I'm Lisa Hannawalt.
We make art and comedy and TV shows and also the podcast Baby Geniuses. For the past 8 years, we've been trying to learn new things about the world and each other every episode.
But let's be honest, this podcast is mostly about two friends hanging out, shooting the breeze, and making each other laugh. We're horny, we like gardening and horses, and we get real stupid on here.
But like, in a smart way.
Yeah.
Join us every other week on Maximum Fun.
Baby Geniuses, tell us something we don't know.
Hey friends, Jesse here, the founder of Maximum Fun, and I have some really great news to share with you. This year has brought a lot of changes for all of us. And one tradition that we were grateful to be able to hold on to is our annual pin sale to benefit charity. This year, through your generosity and love of pins, you helped raise $95,400 for Give Directly. If you're a member and you bought pins, they'll ship in January. In the meantime, your support will provide direct cash relief to families impacted by COVID-19 across the United States. Even in this incredibly tough year, the Max Fund community remains extraordinarily kind. And whether or not you bought pins, you can continue to help by heading to givedirectly.org. And as always, thank you.
Our guest is waiting. Should we let him in? Let's let him in. There he is. Hilarious comedian. Dear friend. He's there he is. His audio is connecting. It's 2 a.m. Wait, is he there?
Yeah.
Almost.
Hi.
Anubhav.
Hi, Des. Hi, Chris. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Anubhav.
There he is. Anubhav Pal. Or I've been practicing. Pal, that's my impression of your podcast host. I was talking about you. Thank you for joining us, Anubhav.
Listen, I decided, as you know, Dave, I live in India, and I figured that I would leave India, where the coronavirus cases are going down, and go to a country where the coronavirus cases are going up. So,
oh, yes. This is very wise. Now, thanks. How long this? We emailed about this, but I didn't get the full. I know it's some complicated thing. How long are you going to be in? You're in the UK, in London. How long? How long will you be there for?
I came here for a month, but a lot of it depends on whether my country is going to let me back in or not, and that's entirely dependent on where the world is right now, and corona restrictions. I'll give you an example. I left Mumbai, and then the day I left Mumbai, they shut Mumbai now for other Indian cities. So if you're coming in from other Indian cities, you have to get a test. And this happened right after I flew out. So I may have to live in this little Airbnb forever. Forever is the answer, David.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, luxury problems. I mean, London's beautiful. I'm sure even during global pandemic. What are you doing there all day? Are you just in the Airbnb?
Exactly. The rule is if you fly in from a high case country, you have to self-isolate. So I went from isolating in India. So I've gone from a room. I've flown 5,000 miles and gone into another room where.
Oh, wow.
I'm just going to be sitting in this room now for 2 weeks.
And then what?
Well, then I'm legally allowed to be out, but knowing my luck, I'll probably be legally allowed to be out, and then the government of the United Kingdom will probably have a lockdown.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah, so I may have to just stay inside. Yeah, so this is just very boring logistics to enter the podcast with, but...
If you're coming in with guns blazing, this is international stuff.
Yeah,
I love it. We're global. Yes. You look great, by the way. Whatever you're doing, this pandemic's treating you
well. Thank you. Part of the reason is I only have one light that's working, and it's actually a lamp at a desk. But I've been able to turn it around. So now I look like where I'm sitting looks like one of those forensic sites in a long criminal procedural on HBO, you know, where they interrogate people, some sort of a dead body. It kind of looks like that, but that wasn't what I was going for, because it looks creepy, right? With this light at 3 o'clock in the morning in London, it looks like something creepy is going on, but it's just
me. It does look a little creepy.
Yeah, it's just
Thank you, by the way, for agreeing to wake up in the middle of the night to be on North America's most popular podcast.
Wait, did you wake up to be on us, or you just stayed up?
Great question. Excellent question. I contemplated both sides of that, and then I decided I was going to take a nap at about 7 p.m., and then I woke up at 10 past 7, and that was it. But I... You know, when you have these things at 2, 3 in the morning, sometimes we have a lot of flights that leave India very late at night. And you always tell yourself, you'll take this nap and you get up an hour before, you'll have a coffee. And it'll, again, be like the movies, you know, where people are like out at night, like detectives. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm going with this detective motif so much today.
I like it.
Thank you. It's just maybe that's just the genre right now I'm thinking about. But, yeah, so I thought I would do that, but I got about 10 minutes of sleep, Chris. So, but that was enough. That was enough.
Breaks to give you that extra zip you need.
Yeah, exactly.
I have been, one of my favorite things, of my many favorite things about the pandemic, is I've been listening religiously, and everyone should listen to this. Anubhav has a great podcast called Our Last Week, with Kunal Roy Kapoor, during which they talk about their last week and many different things, and I'm obsessed with it, and it's usually only 29 minutes long, roughly, which makes it
it's 29 minutes long. It's on Spotify, so Spotify launched in India, and they basically have lots of Bollywood music and one podcast. And ours is the podcast that they have. But otherwise, they have loads of Bollywood music. But it's a podcast we do. But the most interesting aspect about it is that Dave Hill, that is you.
Oh, yes, that's me.
Sent us a conundrum. And basically what the podcast is that every week we try to answer different conundrums, incidents that may have happened to an individual in the course of the week, could be tiny, but what that means for the world. And you sent us a couple of excellent conundrums about the purchase of an action figure.
Yes, and more conundrums coming. And I took your advice. Hang on. Just wait right here. You guys can keep talking. It's going to cross the room.
I'm sharing the link for your podcast in the chat right now, actually. Oh,
very kind. By the way, guys, I'm a big fan. I've heard you guys... never at 3 o'clock in the morning, but at other hours discussing various things.
I'm a fan of yours. You're on Dave Hill's podcasting incident. I think right as the pandemic was hitting. And I wasn't.
That particular day, Chris, that Dave and I spoke. Sorry, Dave. The action figure is more important. Sorry.
No. Let's we can come. We'll get back to the action figure. You were on Dave Hill's podcasting incident, and you were that was right at the beginning, and you had been separated from your family, your wife and son. They got stuck somewhere else.
Sadly, they've returned, and shockingly, they still want to maintain relations with me. My wife, maybe because we co-own the house, and my son, because maybe he feels some sort of love. I don't know where these things come from. But they returned. But what had happened that particular time is they were stuck in another part of India. But what was particularly interesting about the podcast, if you remember, was that there was a crazy stray dog that was that's still barking next to my house. That's barked throughout the pandemic. Nobody knows. India has a lot of stray dogs. We've got a lot of just lots of animals running around. But this particular stray dog decided to bark throughout the podcast, if you remember. And then it was also the day where the Prime Minister of India decided that as a gesture to the healthcare workers. And I think that in America, you guys have this thing where people clap for healthcare workers. I think Britain has something similar. We decided that we were going to shut off all our lights.
In all of India.
In all of India.
A billion people were going to shut off their lights.
Shut off all their lights.
Or is it more than a billion? Is it 1.65 billion?
It's 1.5 now. Yeah, 1.5, somewhere there. But, you know, after the first billion, who's counting?
Yeah, yeah. I pride myself on knowing the statistics of your country.
I'm glad you do, but somebody needs to, because the census gave up a long time ago. So somebody... we can turn to Dave Hill when we're doing citizenship identification.
On the case.
Yeah, yeah. So two things happened. That happened, and then we could only talk for a short bit because the entire nation was going to shut off its electricity as a thank you to the healthcare workers. Of course, there's a lot of writing about how that would be helpful, given you would also shut off the electricity at hospitals.
Details.
But we had tiny. Yeah.
What's an oxygen machine when you really need it? I guess that doesn't require electricity, does it? This is why I'm not in medicine. I don't even know.
I think other things...
I'm sorry, I interrupted.
No, not at all. I think other things need to be hooked up to a machine. I think that you're close enough, Dave, to being a doctor. I think you're very close to whatever the degree is, because I think you've correctly pointed out that some machines need electricity and some do not.
That's half the battle. When you're on the floor... when it's life or death, it's just knowing that basic thing that some of the machines are going to need to be plugged in.
Exactly.
So I'm sorry, but go ahead. So tell because we were ending the podcast and you were about to go.
It's like hours away from them shutting off the electricity, I think. I don't know. I don't know if we ever followed up with you on.
I got some details, but let Anubhav tell us. Hello, do we lose?
I think Dave, you were under the impression that I was just leaving, and the whole thing was made up.
I had my suspicions, and given my self-loathing, I thought, Anubhav's a very reasonable, smart guy. Who would blame him for making up a thing where the whole country was going to turn off all electricity? But it's why not make, just to get out of talking to me? Sure, I'd make that up.
There you go.
Correct, correct. I tried to convince you and to no avail. And then I thought later on, it is a ridiculous excuse. He must think I'm a lunatic. Like, he must... And it can only be superseded by fact, like that it actually happened, is the only thing that could beat how nonsensical what I said sounded like.
Yeah, yeah. It just seemed like, I don't know. I just thought, you know, you were letting me down easy. And why not drag your entire country into it?
Yes.
Your story.
I have to go. There's a firing squad under my house. You know, it sounded like that.
Yeah. Wait, so then what happened? So you shut your laptop. Then what happened?
I did. Our whole building shut off its electricity. There's a big concern that the grid would collapse because it wouldn't be able to take such a fluctuation in the voltage. And then I went to the roof and... I was quite interested because something's happened to citizens of the world during Corona. I think most have lost their sense of order and common sense because there were lots of ladies from my building, wives and husbands and families, banging pots and pans, shouting, "Go Corona, go!" Some of it
so
went
it was
viral.
A pro coronavirus contingent?
I think they wanted it to depart, but I can see how to American people it may sound like a cheer, like they were cheering for Corona.
They were saying like go away Corona, like what we would say, get out of here.
Correct. I can only describe it in a I know I could be wrong, but Dave, you are in Ohio currently?
I'm currently in Ohio, yes. And temporarily.
I think we've talked about this, but we share a tiny Ohio connection in that I went to undergraduate...
At Ohio Wesleyan,
yeah.
I just wanted to say it because to show off my knowledge of the minutiae of your life. That's a pretty big detail, actually, where you went to college.
Thank you. And I'm glad you know it, and because I spent 4 years there, and then I spent a few more years in the United States, and then I've lived in India for 15 years. So when I tell people I went to college in a town called Delaware, Ohio, and a tiny liberal arts school called Ohio Wesleyan, most people don't believe me. They don't think it exists. They think it's a made-up place because the town I went to for college was called Delaware, Ohio, which sounds like a state, right? It sounds like two states.
Yeah, makes
makes no sense. And it was only 1,600 students. So they think I made it up. They think I have no formal education. And also, I don't blame them because I don't often speak with any sense of a person who's gone to college. So
right off the streets.
Yes.
Just
yeah, even the way I dress, you know, it just doesn't.
Oh my, people can't really get an appreciation for the way you dress, but it is
correct. And also, my cultural background doesn't have any achievement in science and mathematics. Indian people are not known for science, mathematics, and engineering. So they automatically assume that I have no education.
Yeah. That was my assumption when I first met you. Absolute rube.
Yeah, illiterate, semi-literate. But the point I'm going to get is that they had a football team called the Buckeyes, and their thing was go Buckeyes, go. Like,
Wait, the Ohio Wesleyan was the Buckeyes?
Yeah, what am I saying? You're right.
Ohio State is the Buckeyes.
Ohio State was Buckeyes. Ohio Wesleyan was the Bishops. Their football team was the Battling Bishops.
Oh, you don't want to square off against them.
Yeah.
That's Bishops, like a name you're set to have a losing season with that name. Maybe they didn't, though.
Yeah, I think now thinking back, actual clergy were in that football team. Actual members of the faith were in that football team. But you know, Go Corona Go was not used in that context on that roof in Mumbai 18 years later. This was supposed to be a leave Corona leave. But
okay.
But Indian housewives are not that attuned to American football cheering. So they went with Go Corona Go.
It's now... And then there was a guy, you emailed me something about a guy smoking.
Yes. Yes.
What was that? The hero of the night, as far as I'm concerned.
He was an Indian uncle. He had a lovely mustache, and I think he was wearing something very leathery from the 80s. And I think he even had some cologne on, even though he was on another roof across the building. I could smell him.
You could.
It was very 80s, very sort of. He looked like an Indian Burt Reynolds, if that's helpful.
Oh yeah,
I could picture that oddly accurately.
And and when you say uncle, it's an uncle in India, that just means like an older guy, right?
Yeah, we use that a lot, like for basically any crazy man person.
It's an uncle.
Who's not a hipster, like anybody who's in their 40s. Like sometimes I end up saying uncle things, and uncles usually end up saying typically crazy, racist, bigoted nonsense of some kind. Like this uncle... was smoking and shouting. Am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
Oh yeah, yeah, you can say whatever.
So he was smoking and shouting, "Fuck you, Corona! You can't do anything to me." and he was alone. He didn't seem to have any family or anything with him. He was alone on this roof, in a leather jacket, with some very heavy cologne shouting, fuck you, Corona. And then I kept thinking, I left Dave's podcast for this. I wish I could have shown him this or brought him on this journey.
Oh, well, you know, on my list of things to do, as soon as this plague is over, I'm coming to Mumbai.
I think you would be much loved and much appreciated. Also because, I'm sorry, I may be probing into your cultural life here, but you have been indulging in some Bollywood.
Oh yeah, I mean this is sort of a segue to were you talking about the women screaming "Go Corona, go"? It made me think of I actually thought maybe we should, though I guess you can't really give listeners, viewers, or however people are taking all this in, an assignment. But everyone, in a perfect world, I would have had everyone, all 1 million of our listeners, watch this movie. I emailed with Anubhav the other day. One thing I've been doing during the pandemic is just taking a global tour, just watching movies from all over the place. And I was trying to figure out some Indian, and this, I have questions about this, Indian and or Bollywood movies, which I don't know, is there a distinction, or do we just call all Indian movies Bollywood movies at this point?
Well, that's a great question. I think it used to be only Bollywood movies, but I think Bollywood people now want to break out of that because what's become really awful in India is they've started making good movies. One of the main problems with good movies, I did not grow up with any good movies. I grew up in 80s Bollywood. And 80s Bollywood was a spectacular time because that was Bollywood at its best. You know, it had ninjas, it had disco dancing, which I'm sure we'll talk about. It had submarines, yes. It had alligators, it had good stuff, you know, proper villains. That to me was the golden age. But now we do like crime dramas that are almost as good as the West, and it's really a waste of time. It just makes me feel like, you know, we've given up something culturally for logic and reason, and we've got good actors now. I despise that whole thing. But they would like to distinguish themselves from Bollywood because they want to say, we're not song and dance. We now do like 10-part, you know, stories about financial scams. And it's really unfortunate that you know, reason and logic have sort of entered an otherwise really fantastic movie industry.
Yeah, because I'm just dipping my toes in at this point. Well, I don't think I'm ever going to return. I feel like probably until this is over, I'm going to watch Bollywood movies. But, and some of them, a lot of them seem like they're so long that it could, they're all like 15 hours long.
Well, the one, for example, you know, you've also caught on to a great period of films that you're watching. I think you're watching stuff from late 70s into the 90s.
If a guy looks like the guy with the cologne that you described, guy in the poster looks like that, I'm watching the movie, basically.
Yeah. So basically, when I was growing up, just share a little nugget, my mother for a while decided to turn the ground floor of our house. She wanted to start a business. And she turned it into a video cassette library because she felt like that would be a successful business. And it was. She didn't have very many video cassettes. We're talking 1984. But she had a very wide range of the latest Bollywood releases. India was way behind. So we didn't, you know, we were also socialist till 91. So we'd get video cassettes late and, you know, we wouldn't get Hollywood and because it was very Soviet and very socialist. So running a video library was like an underground thing, but everyone would come and watch. And that was my first big lesson into 80s Bollywood, where basically people would go to see movies. Movie theaters were essentially really rundown places. Most people watch movies on video cassette because movie halls were, you know, rat infested and stuff. But they also had
full of masturbators.
Lots of masturbators.
If I can quote, we'll get to this later, but your book that I've started reading.
Yes, yes. I talk about a particular film called Disco Dancer, which is my favorite Bollywood film.
Well, this is what we need to get into, because I asked Anubhav what to recommend some movies, and he said the only movie, the greatest movie, is Disco Dancer. And you sent me a YouTube link, and that didn't work. You can't watch it in America. But it's on Netflix, which is I'm excited to share with our viewers/listeners. You can watch this movie on Netflix. You could watch it tonight, and it's only 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's short. It's short. That's probably the highly edited version. I'm so glad that film is on Netflix. But just for 1 second, I want to talk about the other film that you were watching before I recommended Disco Dancer. You were watching a film called Mahan, which means The Great.
I'm still watching it. Because I keep putting it on at night after a couple beers. And so I only can watch like 20 minutes at a time. And that movie's several weeks long.
Yes. And the thing is, that movie, yeah, it lasts about a year. And that film stars India's biggest movie star. He was India's biggest movie star then. He still is. His name is Amitabh Bachchan. He's now 76 years old. But in Mahan, the producer went for the big shebang because Amitabh Bachchan, the movie star, plays the father. So the story is about this father who's estranged from his two sons. But Amitabh Bachchan plays the father and he plays both the sons.
It's amazing. And he plays also the father in two different... he plays a younger father and an older father. So yes. He arguably plays four characters.
He plays four characters.
In the movie.
He's a father and then he gets two sons. And both the sons are him. He's the dad. He then becomes an older dad. And then the one thing that just doesn't happen is the two sons don't have further sons who are also him. Because then you would be in an endless spiral. But there are four Amitabhs. And Mahan, the title in English means The Great. And two fantastic things about it is the love interest that they hired for the two sons also look alike. They are two women.
Thank you for pointing this out, because I struggled to... Yeah, they do look a lot alike, and it's confusing.
Yeah. I saw an interview with the director, and he said, I think the world does not have enough Amitabh Bachchans. So I wanted to give the world as many Amitabh Bachchans as possible. So he gave us four in a 3-hour film. Father, younger father, older father, two sons, two girlfriends who look alike. How much more can you want?
And for people who maybe don't realize that they know who Amitabh Bachchan is, he is the actor in the beginning of Slumdog Millionaire. When the young, I can't remember the main character's name, is trying to get an autograph from the movie star, it's Amitabh Bachchan, right?
That is correct. He's also in The Great Gatsby, I think. He is. He's got a little scene in that. He's done some Hollywood, but his legendary stuff was in the 80s. In the 80s, also now, like, he plays, like, you know, like a judge, or like he plays like proper roles. But in the 80s, when he was a big movie star, another film I highly recommend is Ajuba. In Mahan, which you're watching, it's just him in four different roles. In Ajuba, he is half man, half aquatic superhero, and the son of a dolphin. And at one point, he has whole conversation with a dolphin in English.
The dolphin also speaks English?
Yes, yes. And the dolphin is the mother, is his mother, obviously speaks English. So they obviously said, okay, this whole film is going to be in Hindi because that's the language a billion people understand. But it's a dolphin. We got to give the dolphin another language. So the dolphin and Amitabh Bachchan speak English. I highly recommend this film. When I watched this film...
Okay, this is going to be the next one I watch.
Yeah, exactly. Narcotics were not available in India when I was watching the film. I was also 9 years old. But it had all the impact that narcotics would have had without requiring narcotics.
Chris and Dez, are you familiar with any of these films?
I've heard of Disco Dancer. I really want to watch. I'm going to watch it now that it's on Netflix. Yeah,
Chris, I feel like you especially are made for this Disco Dancer movie. Anuvab, and everyone should watch it. And I've researched it. Well, I've read up on it. I don't know if it counted as researching, really. But it's one of the most popular movies everywhere in the world, except in North America, it sounds like.
Well, what interested me a lot was that it was the number one movie in Russia for 15 years. Because the Russians were not allowed American movies. So they used to get... So if you go to Russia, even today, and you say you're from India, the first thing they'll tell you is Disco Dancer. And you'll say yes, because you'll just be scared as to why this man in a hotel is talking about disco dancing. And then he'll do a little disco dancing step, and he'll tell you Jimmy, and Jimmy was the name of the main character, the disco dancer. So he'll say Jimmy, and then you'll get nervous and say Jimmy back. This is a real life experience. And you'll be friends forever, because it... and when I had a chance to interview the director has a statue of him in the center of Moscow. The director, not just the star. The star, of course, is
the
a legend.
Director. There's the a statue director of the director of the movie, yeah. Disco. And yeah. Then, it's Disco Dancer is essentially, it's pretty much like Star Wars everywhere else. So, Chris, again, I point you. I feel like you're made for this movie.
Des, have you seen either of these?
No.
Disco Dancer or
No, I haven't. I'm not a big musical guy, so I tend to shy away.
Disco Dancer is
it's worth it.
It's I mean,
you didn't steer me wrong with the Greasy Strangler, so you know.
If you like Greasy Strangler, you'll definitely love Disco Dancer. In fact, and Anuvab, have you seen Greasy Strangler?
I have. It's a great suggestion. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they both have the anything goes quality, and I kept thinking in Disco Dancer, things would happen, and I would think, did I just fall asleep for a second? Because I don't know how they made that leap into this happening. Certainly, more had to have been going on. And then I would rewind it, and I'm like, oh, no, that's what I saw. That's what I thought happened.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
in this movie, we don't want to get too much into the minutiae of the movie for people that haven't seen it yet, but there's the big star in the movie who... has falling out with the manager, and the manager has to get a new star, and lo and behold, just happens to see Jimmy dancing down the street.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, there are many great things here. First of all, the manager, there is a profession in India, apparently, called a manager of disco dancers. There's such a profession. Of which there is this gentleman, the manager of Disco Dancers, who is actually a very respected actor in India. He's done lots of great art house movies. But in this one, he plays Gordon Brown, that very traditional Indian name for a disco dancer. And I asked the director, why did he go with so many anglicized names in the movie? Because the disco dancer's name is Jimmy. But that's not an Indian name, right? So I said, why did he go with these names? And he said that he wasn't sure that disco dancing would be accepted by a large Hindu country as a respectable thing to do. So he said, if I give them Christian names, people will forgive them, because then they'd be seen as like heathens and disco dancers, and it's fine. Like,
yeah, you were saying that I started everyone, a companion to the movie Disco Dancer is the book Disco Dancer.
Yes.
By Anuvab Pal, and which I've started reading. You talk about this in the books. So basically basically if you have a Christian name, you could just get away with anything.
Yeah. Like in Disco Dancer, when they go to a bar, the bar owner's name is Mr. Gomes. And what struck me is that there isn't, like, why are there only Western names in this movie? You know, and then he told me it's because he thought that the audience would not identify with disco dancing and Hinduism. So he didn't go with any Hindu names. He just went with disco. But I said, but the main villain in the movie, he's got a Hindu name. His name is P.N. Oberoi. And the initials P.N. are never explained. he's a villain, and he's a man who wants to murder disco dancers, naturally.
He's not Indian, though.
Yeah, so that's what he told me, is that I thought P.N. Oberoi was an Indian name. He said, no, the initials P.N. stands for Patrick Neil Oberoi, and he's not an Indian guy. So there's all this. But the reason Disco Dancer had a long, it was like suffering from long COVID. It had a very long impact on me. The first time I saw it, I thought, you know, it was the 80s, and I sort of sucked it in with all the other dolphin films and all of that. But years later, when I saw it, I realized sort of the genius of the plotting, because a lot of Bollywood movies are about poor people overcoming rich people who are evil. You know, because that was the through line of a lot of Bollywood films. You know, poor guy, he's a beggar. Some rich guy exploits his family. He takes revenge. That was a through line for many, many films. That was a through line for this film also, but it was done through disco dancing. So he was a disco dancer who took revenge on a villain in a disco dancing final face-off. And the wrong that was done to him was that his mother was killed in a disco dancing event where she was accidentally electrocuted by a guitar. I just found that kind of plotting to be brilliant. When I became a comedian, I just wanted to really pay tribute and homage to the director. And then I found out that the director sued a large number of publications because they said Disco Dancer was the greatest comedy of all time. And he maintained till today that he's made a tragedy. And that he's only wanted to make tragedies, and people have misunderstood him. And he's continued to sue people, including me, for writing the book and saying this was the greatest movie of all time.
Wow.
He followed up Disco Dancer with another great comedy, which again, he saw as a tragedy, Tarzan in Mumbai, which was one of my favorite films for a long time, where Tarzan is kidnapped and tied up in Mumbai, and he's displayed at a big party where lots of rich people come and see him, which was another classic. And again, when I talked to him about that, he said these were tragedies and they were misinterpreted by a fiendish and fickle audience, and no one's understood my genius, etc. But God bless him for making tragedies, and I wish I had all the money to give him to make more tragedies.
I mean, those are the funniest. The funniest movies are the ones that are not, they were not intended to be funny. But that guy seems like he didn't want to embrace the fact that people loved it for being so funny. You know, like Tommy Wiseau in The Room.
Do you know The Room, Anubhav?
I saw a documentary on that.
Because he was trying to make a legit drama, but then when people said it was funny, he was like, no, it's supposed to be funny. It's a comedy. that was not his intention at all.
Yeah. And the thing is that Tommy Wiseau, I think, came around eventually to accepting this as a comedy. The interesting thing about B. Subhash is that for 25 years, he's legally fought people for saying that he made a comedy. I think he wrote a book also called Why I'm Serious or something. He wrote a pretty...
So there's another book. Another book to read after seeing Disco Dancer.
Wow. Yeah, his own
book.
In addition to your book, Yeah, exactly. And to me, I just don't think in Bollywood or anywhere in the world we've had a sort of finale climax that was settled by disco dancing till death. In the film, it happens, and again, this is the genius of B. Subhash to think of this. It happens at the World Disco Dancing Championships, which take place in Paris. that's what happens at the end of the... I mean, I'm not giving anything away because these are like in the summary of the film, but it ends in a disco dancing face-off where the other guy just dies by not being able to keep up with the disco dancing.
Yeah, it's. I think, aside from being really entertaining, a great thing about Disco Dancer is if you watch it and if you aspire to writing a hugely popular movie and you watch it, you'd think, I could write a huge movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, and which is not me criticizing the movie, but it's sort of just the way it's just effortlessly bizarre. And just anything happens. Yeah, there's an assassin who only kills disco dancers.
Yeah, and he's the only white character in the film. He's his name is Mr. Bob, and he's hired by the villain. And it's explained what his specialties are. And he said that he used to kill ballerinas, but he's given that up. Now he only kills disco dancers. So it's very niche murder skill. It's very niche. And then you see him, and he's wearing a black turtleneck and black sunglasses. He's definitely making no effort to blend into India. And then he says, I think he agrees with the bad guy. He says, yes, I killed disco dancers. Like, he agrees.
That is everyone's really transparent in the movie about their whole... No one hides anything. They're just like, yeah, I've killed a lot of people. I'm just... And now I'm just here at this party. For some reason.
There's a lot of that. In fact, the main villain, and one of my favorite scenes, is they had the main villain whose son is the rival disco dancer. And they have to establish that he's a villain. And one of my favorite scenes ever in cinema is the way they do that is they show the main villain in like a board meeting, because he's obviously a corporate, like, important guy. Mm-hmm. And behind him is a chart. And it's written, profits from smuggling. And I always wanted to have that t-shirt that said profits from smuggling. You know,
this is something I wanted to bring up. And all of these things will occur to anyone who watches this movie who hasn't seen it yet. As soon as I finished, I thought, well, I love the movie. I've ordered Annabelle Paul's book. That'll be coming soon. I should probably load up on other disco dancer merchandise.
Fair enough.
I thought there would be a whole line of t-shirts, all sorts of stuff. It's not out there as far as I could find.
Well, you know, the sort of new generation of, 2010 onwards, like everywhere in the world, India got its own hipsters. And they rediscovered disco dancer and they wanted to make t-shirts. But interestingly, and fortunately maybe, the director has staunchly sort of sued anybody trying to make fun in any way of this film.
Oh.
So for a while there were mugs, there were t-shirts with lines from the film. He stopped all that. He went to Amazon and he said, I'm going to sue you.
He shut it. Just so there was it. I missed the window.
Yeah. There was a window.
You know, I made a note of this. Going back to Mahan. One thing you talk about in your book, Disco Dancer, is how much the movie changes when it's translated to English.
Yes.
And just how the languages differ, and you get lines like, where is it? In Mahan, the lyrics to a song in one of the musical numbers, they say, your feelings are like my handkerchief.
Yes.
Which makes no idea what that could possibly mean, but I feel like that's a really great insult.
Yes.
It's like if someone's complaining to you, you just say, your feelings are like my handkerchief, and you just storm out of the room.
Just leave. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't have to participate anymore. Yeah. Yeah. And I highly recommend watching any Bollywood film, even some of the recent ones, ideally on an aeroplane with the subtitle on, because for the longest time, they never imagined anyone else other than Indians would want to see this. So they didn't put in any effort in the subtitling. So I think sometimes they use the automatic subtitling. Just on my way to London, I was watching a famous Bollywood old film, and it had a line like, your tulips are assassins. You know, it had that line. Which...
See, that's great too. That sounds sexual.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means.
But I think it was a courtroom scene, which made it even better.
Your tulips are my assassins?
Yeah, I think they were trying to say there was something involving a flower thing in a divorce something. That was the scene. But we're in a courtroom and a lawyer is speaking and he says, and in translation it reads, "Your tulips are my assassins." And the guy who was watching it, he seemed like a European guy. And I saw him on the flight and he just like came in closer to his lap, to his little... Like, he just couldn't believe what he was watching. He just went... just, he disagreed with the subtitle.
Yeah, it's pretty strong, though, I gotta say. Chris, do you have any insights into what that could possibly mean?
What, your feelings are...
No, we're on another
thing. Oh, sorry, I got up to get a drink and...
Oh, you fucker.
Sorry.
God damn it. No. Your tulips... are my assassins.
Was it my assassins? Or
am I getting it right? Am I getting it wrong?
Yeah, yeah. You tulips are like assassins. It was some line like
are
that.
Are like assassins. Yeah. By the way, if anyone wants to call in, has any questions, 347-474-0260. 347-474-0260. Chris, should we open it up to Zoom calls as well? A danger or just phone
let's,
tonight?
Let's do it. We have some time. And someone in the chat mentioned doing a watch party for Disco Dancer somehow. And I think we can actually pull it off. If
when we can do it?
Well, because it's on Amazon Prime, and they have a new watch party feature, so we could like literally all watch it in sync if we wanted to.
Okay, well let's
let's try to figure that out.
Let's figure it out. Everyone, how we need to schedule this somehow.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Content.
Anyone who okay, we'll put the info on the Dave Hill Good Time Hour page, or anyone can email me at dave@davehillonline.com to be part of this global watching party. You know what we should do? We have, and we're roping you into this, Anubhav. We global watching party followed by a Q&A.
Roundtable?
With Anubhav Paul.
I just want to say, guys, you know, I'm really touched by this because when I was 17 or 18 years old and I was watching this in my mother's video library and I couldn't understand what this was, but I knew this was, I didn't really know comedy then, but it seemed like what I was watching was genius. And it's just nice that about, you know, 25 years later, some other people in another part of the world are able to see this genius, you know? It's just...
Have you ever heard of a movie called Miami Connection? It was like another, it wasn't Bollywood or anything, but it seems like it was probably inspired by Disco Dancer in some way, because it's like a bunch of ninjas who also play in a band.
That's and very like good. That's
and they very fight good. Crime and stuff. Yeah, I think, I mean, that's another great movie, but it sounds like Disco Dancer was probably like the inspiration for that.
The thing, Disco Dancer, I feel bad. I hope this isn't really alienated to anyone who hasn't seen it yet. Hopefully it'll just make you want to watch it even more. But in the beginning of the movie, the young Jimmy, who is not called Jimmy yet, right? He's called Anil at this point?
Yeah, he's got an Indian name. Yeah. Raju, he's got, yeah, Raju. I think he's a, yeah. When he's a circus performer. He's a street circus performer.
Yeah, and he plays this that he's with saying this like it's like
yeah.
I'm making up the words.
But it's very close. It's very close.
Go on to da, da, da. And this song is about 15 minutes long.
Yes.
And
yes.
Yes. But the lyrics are about they're like the people that are compassionate and kind are the richest people in the world. Like basically, I can't remember, but basically today they're the best people and the richest people in the world are the kind people. And I was like, oh my gosh, like that's totally true. And like right out of the gate, this movie just sums up life perfectly. That's what really got me in. I was like, this song pretty much nails it. Whatever happens from here on in, I'm in.
And he's like five, he's like 7 years old, and he goes with his mom house to house singing on a tiny ukulele, singing that song that you just described, which and the movie is shot in 1984. So something like that would have happened in India in reality in 1984 or ever about zero times. Which is what made it brilliant also, because they invented a thing that didn't exist. So this guy used to go house to house, and then, and I think the movie starts when he goes to this bad guy's house, who not only hates the music and the kid, but then beats the shit out of the kid for singing this song. Yeah.
Yeah, the kid, yeah, this adorable little kid is singing the song and dancing around with this little girl, and the guy comes and just, yeah, beats the shit out of the kid.
The shit out of him.
Or no, like a 5-year-old kid, just like, oh, there's a adorable little kid singing a song on the ukulele on my front lawn. I'm going to beat the shit shit out of him.
That, like that touches like this. Movie. It touches like this. And the guy who beats the shit out of the kid, it's these comic, brilliant touches. The bad guy, he's about to beat the shit out of him. He looks at the kid and he says something like, oh, shit. Like, he's not happy the kid's on his lawn. But then when he goes out to beat the shit out of him, he's wearing a beret. So he would have gone inside. He said, I can't just beat the shit out of him looking like this. He goes and puts on a beret, comes out, and then beats the shit out of a 5-year-old.
You don't have an ass-kicking beret?
Yeah, you got to have an ass-kicking. It's truly. And the thing is, like, then the police or whoever come, and they're like, the guy's beating the shit out of this little kid, and the police show up, and they're like, yeah, kid, that was really fucked up how you sang that song in this guy, in the guy's lawn. What the fuck are you doing?
And they arrested the kid. Yeah. They arrest the kid in a brilliant piece of Indian legal jurisprudence. They arrest the child and the mother. So there's some superb scenes about law as well. And how the law works, you know, it's a brilliant depiction of an India that never existed, which is why it's so good.
My hope is that our discussion of the movie Disco Dancer will lead, I realize there's people already in America are already hip to it, but I'm hoping people will listen to this and see this, will there'll be these huge spikes in Disco Dancer viewing on Netflix and Amazon Prime, and the people at those two companies will be like, what's going on? Why is Disco Dancer through the roof this week? Like,
that would be such a, I mean, you know, I mean, that, I think my work on this planet would be done. You know? Somewhere I'd read there was some brief interview or something with the comedian Zach Galifianakis, and he was asked if he'd ever seen an Indian movie, and I think he mentioned he'd seen Disco Dancer.
Oh.
He didn't want to ruin, I think he was in India for something, I think he was promoting Hangover or something, and they said, have you seen an Indian movie? He said, I've seen Disco Dancer, and I don't want to ruin that by watching any other Bollywood film. and I heard that, and I was like, this man understands everything.
Yeah, it's really something. And I feel like we have not ruined it by any of our discussion. There's no spoilers.
No, these things are all, these things are all at the back of the, you know, in the summary of the thing. I think one more thing, in fact, we can mention one more thing, which I want to know if this is a real thing that exists in America, because it didn't in India when they put it in the film. One of the things that happens to Jimmy, the protagonist, after his mother dies, being conspiratorially electrocuted on a guitar by the murderer of Disco Dancers.
Yeah.
Is that Jimmy cannot perform anymore because he has a particular disease that the film invents called guitar phobia. Dave, as a musician, have you ever faced this? Have you...
You know, interestingly, it's got me thinking, right before we started, I was talking about this, how in the beginning of the pandemic, I was practicing the guitar a lot, like religiously, like an hour a day, like to looking at the clock. And then one day I was just like, this is pointless. And I just, not playing, just the, the practicing of the scales and all that, I was just like, ah, what's the point? And I just stopped doing it. And now I'm kind of getting back to it. So I think that was sort of, I did have some guitar phobia there where all of a sudden I was just like, eh, maybe I was just sick of it. That's different, I guess.
Guitar. Well, the way they, yeah, I mean, that's a kind of guitar phobia. The way they use it in the film is that, of course, his mother has been accidentally electrocuted by a red guitar. So what happens to him is every time he's given a red guitar to perform, he starts crying, he screams, he starts frothing at the mouth, passing out, shaking violently from side to side, and then going into a deep sleep. Now, I don't know if you had similar symptoms.
You know, I sleep, you know. So, yeah. It could be argued. Before we run out of time, we can't forget. We talked about this earlier, your podcast, our last week, which is truly, I listen to it all the time. And I missed a lot of it, so I had to go back and catch up. And I think I'm finally caught up. But yeah, you guys have conundrums where people can write in or call in and ask your advice on what they should do about their conundrum. And my conundrum was somehow, you know how the internet figures out what you're into? Somehow the internet figured out that I really like King Diamond and Merciful Fate and was like, hey, there's an action figure coming out of King Diamond. You should probably get this. And I was like, well, yeah, I should get that. And then at the time, I didn't realize that I was waiting for your answer on whether or not I should get the King Diamond action figure. And the one I was asking about was really expensive for a king for an action figure for a grown man. It was really expensive, either $50, $75, more than I thought I should be spending on an action figure. And then the wait is a year. It's not even out until next summer. So I thought, well, and this doesn't make me more mature, because then I was like, well, I can't possibly wait that long for the King Diamond action figure. But they offer other King Diamond action figures, which are available immediately. So I got this. I don't know if you can see it. This is my King Diamond action figure.
That's awesome.
Which is a different model than the one I was asking about. But
that's like the classic, like, action figure size, though.
3.5.
Yeah, yeah, it's 3.5. Pretty. I was surprised how small it was when it showed up, given how much it cost. And, you know, they presented it. It created the illusion of a much bigger King Diamond action figure. But I want to thank you, Anubhav, and please tell Kunal Roy Kapoor thank you as well, because I got it, and it sits right next to me where I sit and on my laptop and write important things that will affect generations to come. But I look at this. What's that?
One thing that your conundrum had, which I thought was quite fantastic, was when you wrote to us, you said, should I spend $75 on King Diamond? This is right in the middle of the pandemic. So you'd said, should I spend $75 on this action figure, or should I use the money for, like, groceries and life? I thought that was great. That you put the conundrum in those economic terms, that either I have this action figure after I wait for a year, or do I spend the money on living and eating? I thought that was such a fantastic economic conundrum.
Oh, yeah. And it was definitely at a time when that was a real concern weighing on me, because I thought, well, maybe it's all over and whatever money I've made is all the money I'll ever make.
Yeah.
And I really need to make it count and try to stay alive. And the thing, if I know me, I'll probably order that other action figure eventually, probably, you know, later tonight after I finish watching Disco Dancer again. I will get the other one. Were you familiar with King Diamond when I sent this conundrum in? Did that factor into your guys' decision?
I was not. We looked him up. We did not know who he was. So it's very interesting on what kind of music travels to India. So there are certain bands that, and you, I guess, you know, people that are into music will be quite interested in this. There was a band called Pantera.
That was of course.
I don't know why they were big in India, but they were. Judas Priest was big in India. Black Sabbath was big in India. So, and some were not, you know. So, you know, Van Halen, very big. Megadeth was quite big. So, for a while, I tried to keep track of, you know, which of these people made it to India and which didn't. I haven't really got into the why, but that's worth studying.
I wonder, yeah. Now the bands you mentioned, I would have thought King Diamond would have made it, but we have someone waiting in the Zoom. Should we? This is probably our number one Zoom viewer or person that zooms in. If anyone else wants to zoom in, let's check in. This is from we lost him. Or no, he is. Here he is. From Minneapolis. We may have lost him.
Oh, here we go.
His screen is blank. This Zoom is futuristic. We let people zoom right into the show on Avob, which fantastic. Is really maybe a horrible idea. I don't know. It
brave.
Depends.
Brave, yeah.
Brave. very brave. Why is it so slow for someone to join?
He's got to connect to audio, so maybe he's just not.
Oh. I don't know. There he. Oh, he's smoking. What a twist!
The incense.
Are you there, Elvira Canaveral? What's your question?
I was really appreciating. I put on YouTube of a disco dancer here, and this is absolutely amazing. I just right now they're doing the bang bang, and it is beautiful. Oh. My film that I connected with this was Berry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
And I've heard of that.
When I would go tour in like the early 2000s, you know, you'd spend a week in a town, you always end up at the mall. So I'd go to the Suncoast, the Music Land, and Sam Goody's, and always request Berry Gordy's The Last Dragon. And the clerk would look it up for a while and go, "No, it's not on DVD." And I go, "Oh," and they go, "But we have a request line where we can put in requests, and if there's enough demand for something, you know, we go to Hollywood and say, hey, people want this movie." So I went to like 500 different locations over the period of 4 years, always asking for Berry Gordy's Last Dragon, being surprised that they don't have it, created an artificial demand for it. And not only did it come out, it came out in a 2-disc special edition with director's commentary.
Oh, wow. The people have the power.
Oh, it is beautiful. It's the story of Bruce Leroy versus Show Enough, the Shogun of Harlem.
Show Enough.
I have a question, Elvira Canaveral. What is your room? Is the room you're in right now on fire?
No, I'm burning incense.
Oh, you're burning incense. Okay.
Yeah, I have another 3,000 words to write for an anthology, and I don't smoke anymore. And it's when there's something burning in front of me, it helps me kind of meditate and, you know, find my flow without smoking.
That's a good idea.
That's a good All right. idea. But I'm glad you enjoyed Bang Bang, because that was the movie's attempt to copy Video Killed the Radio Star.
It makes it all the more beautiful.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Is that a thing?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Oh, no, don't turn the phone. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
I asked the director, how influenced were you by Video Killed the Radio Star? Because obviously it's an entire copy. And he said, "I was very inspired. I was very inspired." I said, "How inspired?" "I was totally inspired." So I said, what did you do with the inspiration? He said, "I just copied it." He just said it.
End there, he looks like a cross between like Rhinestone Jumpsuit Elvis and The Man with No Name. Because he has kind of that. Yeah. Is any guitar ever plugged in this movie?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think, except the one that kills his mom, I think that one's plugged in.
Yeah, that one's technically plugged in.
See, that's why I play bass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bass ukulele with rubber strings, you know, doesn't conduct electricity.
Oh, that's a good safety precaution.
That's always good.
Well, Elvira, we just have a couple minutes left, right, so we should wrap up with Anubhav. Thank you so much.
Keep up the good work.
You too.
And I'm looking forward to a watching party.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, yes. We're going to make this happen.
Take care.
Yeah, we have to. We only have a couple minutes left. But let's, Chris.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. We just got to put like a Facebook event together, because as long as you have an Amazon Prime account, we can all watch it in sync. Like,
does everyone have to have the
Amazon,
and then everyone has to have Anubhav's book as well. Pre-order the book.
I mean, it's just, I feel like one of those 17th century missionaries, you know, that just spreading the word of God, you know. It just, I mean, I wish the director would see what he's doing and what he's done and what a great piece of work. Except sadly, every time I tell the director that, you know, I'm doing a comedy show, book around it, he tries to send me to jail. So we don't have a very good relationship, but what an homage it would be if he could show up at the watch party. And his English is quite good, so I think he'd be able to.
Should we try? Is it worth, do you think, would his ego surpass his...
Well, there was a time he used to, after the book came out, where he used to call me at 2 o'clock in the morning and threaten to shoot me. So I don't know if we are on very good terms, because he doesn't see it as a comedy.
He would, what do you call the landline? Or call your cell phone?
He'd call my cell phone from a landline, and he'd make weird noises. But I think he was also going through some sort of a drunken tax evasion phase. And then later I heard he ended up in prison, which I thought was quite sad.
Oh.
But again, I think he's just not willing to admit what he's done for comedy.
Oh, it's a triumph. We have just a minute left, so we should say goodnight, and then everyone, please listen to Anubhav's podcast, Our Last Week. Of course, join us for the watch party of Disco Dancer that will be. But everyone should go. It's, I feel like it bears repeated viewing. So if you want to go ahead and watch it tonight, immediately.
Yes.
Also advise that. Thank you so much, Anubhav, for getting up in the middle of the night after 10 minutes sleep.
Dave, or Chris, whatever. That's for you guys, a big fan of the podcast. I'd do it anytime.
Thank you.
And I'm glad that I was able to convert three more people to this disco dancing religion. So
I can't wait. I'm gonna dive into this.
It's gonna be big. thank you everyone for joining us. Thanks to everyone who's listening in the podcast version. And if you want to support the show, go to maximumfun.org/join, and there's all sorts of great ways you can support us in our plot for world domination. Rate and review and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts, and tell other people.
Spread the word.
And other stuff. So, you know, spread the word. All right. Thanks, everyone. I've been a Dave Hill or something. Come on. Some sort of ending there. Are you hitting the stop button?
Yeah.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned, audience supported.